defined this way, the set of predominating attitudes and behaviors that characterize a group or organization. Every family has a culture, every church has a culture, every business has a culture, and the culture can be healthy and good and godly, or it can be oppressive and rotten and ungodly. Good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. I'm the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and glad that you have joined me today. We're going to be talking about culture and cultures that help people flourish and are healthy cultures, and cultures that go down the road of irresponsibility, immorality, and just produce all sorts of disaster. God has set up life to function well in a certain direction and poorly in another direction, and we choose what kind of culture we're going to set for our homes and what kind of culture as leaders, what kind of culture we're going to have in our churches, and what kind of a culture we're going to have in our communities. Now, to help me with this discussion, it's my privilege and pleasure to welcome to the program Bishop E.W. Jackson. Bishop Jackson has his program on American Family Radio at noon Central Time called The Awakening. And Bishop, thank you for being my guest this morning.
Jeff, it's always a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Well, you're very welcome, my friend. Okay, so Bishop, I listened to a clip this morning from Jason Whitlock, and he was talking about the Tyre Nichols murder at the hands of five Memphis police officers. And, you know, the liberal media wants to turn this into a race thing, even though the five officers were black and Tyre Nichols was black. But Jason Whitlock, who has the program Fearless on Blaze Media, he had this to share, and I wanted to our listeners to hear it, and then I wanted you to comment on it if you would. So let me play this clip from Jason Whitlock.
The pervasiveness of baby mama culture harms everyone, including the non-participants forced to operate within it. The chaos and dysfunction negatively impact the entire community. Why did Cyril and Davis and the Memphis Police Department implement a Scorpion Street Crimes Operation to Restore Peace in Our Neighborhoods unit? The special task force the five officers worked in. They started it in November of 2021 to combat the violent behavior of largely unparented young black men terrorizing Memphis. These types of units are common in high crime, single-parent neighborhoods across America. Police start gangs to combat gang violence. Young men without fathers in the home are attracted to gangs. Baby mama culture celebrates gang involvement. That's why Snoop Dogg, a proud Crip, is such a beloved cultural figure. That's why so many black boys and girls from two-parent households and good neighborhoods think their racial identity is tied to behaving in a criminal or ghetto fashion. Baby mama culture rules black America in the hood and the burbs. So does matriarchal culture. Black men see black women as our leaders, our saviors. I don't. I never will. And I was raised primarily by my divorced mother. My mother was awesome. Spectacular. She took me and my brother to church every Sunday. She took a second job and moved us out of the ghetto and into a working class neighborhood. But the truth is, I am who I am, good and bad, because of my father. I feared and revered him. He taught me the importance of self-sufficiency, self-reliance, and never accepting a handout. He had no tolerance for excuses. And luckily, I grew up in an era when there was far less pressure to conform to a criminal black stereotype. Rappers weren't portrayed as heroes and role models. It wasn't cool to have a baby mama. I was raised to see myself as a leader, a protector, and a provider. The left frames men like me, regardless of color, as a misogynist oppressor. popular culture promotes the woman king, especially to black people. They ignore the failing results of matriarchal rulership and send women like Sarah Lynn Davis to fix problems only strong, bold male leadership can solve. It's going to take male leadership in the home, in the church, and in law enforcement to fix the rotting culture that took Tyre Nichols' life. That same leadership is required throughout American society. Baby mama culture is being pushed within all facets of American society. Illegitimacy rates are rising among all racial demographics. Christian male leadership has been demonized to placate the feelings and promote the values of the BLM, LGBTQ, alphabet mafia. Your children's neighborhoods will have far more in common with Memphis than Mayberry.
All right, that was from Jason Whitlock and his program Fearless. So, Bishop, I immediately thought about you when I heard this clip, because I know your dad had such an impact on your life. So I would appreciate your thoughts when you hear that from Jason Whitlock.
Well, look, I could quibble with some of the particulars, because I think there is, nevertheless, I mean, it's true in my family, it's true in the families of that my children know, that there is nevertheless within the black community and within our culture in general a lot of people who are still upholding the traditional family. My youngest daughter is married. My son is married. They are Christians. They don't live this leftist, perverse worldview of life. But he is absolutely right. There is a very strong element within the culture of the black community. I call it a cultural pathology. It is not does not really define what the black community is, but it is a pathology that defines that community, that the poor people living in the inner city who are mostly dominated by it, and it is matriarchal. It denigrates the value of manhood as I was taught manhood is. You take personal responsibility for your life. You take care of yourself. You take care of your family. You respect authority. You exercise that authority judiciously as a man, and so forth. So he is absolutely right in the general tenor of what he's saying, that this is a major problem. And Jeff, I'm so glad that he's talking about it, because I've said rebuilding families is really hard work, which is why nobody wants to talk about that. We want to talk about systemic racism, and we want to talk about programs, and we don't want to talk about policies, but nobody wants to talk about what is it going to take so that we look up a generation from now and we realize families have been strengthened, and we no longer go into a city like Richmond, Virginia, for example, where 80% of the black children born in Richmond are born out of wedlock, single-parent, female-headed household, 80%, when in 1950 and up until 1965, 80% of black children were born to two-parent, married, monogamous families. I mean, that is a sea change in the culture, and it's got to be addressed. And we're not going to address it unless we actually start talking about it and trying to come up with ways of doing it. The Bible says where there is no vision, the people perish. If we don't have a vision for rebuilding the family, the situation will continue to get worse, and I don't know how it could get any worse than it is right now.
Well said. Okay, now I know Jason Whitlock got a lot of negative feedback on his stance. I know you get a lot of that too, because you take a strong stand for personal responsibility. Bishop, how do you think we go about changing that culture? Because I don't care what your skin color is, that kind of culture of irresponsibility and immorality, it's always going to end in disaster.
Oh, yeah, I mean, think about the fact that 30, 40, 50 years ago, if you were living together, no matter what the color of your skin, without benefit of marriage, you hid it because it was shameful. You were living in sin. Now people brag about it and they celebrate it. How do we change that? Well, I said, number one, we've got to stop accepting the vocabulary of the left, and we've got to start asserting the vocabulary of the word. It is still living in sin. It is still shameful. that we should be celebrating. We've got to put God back in the center of our culture. And I say every Christian has got to stand up and realize this is not a political battle, spiritual and cultural battle. And when we see these things happening, we have got to take a stand and say, well, I'm not going to be a part of that because I don't agree with that. I'm not going to your living together celebration party. I'm not coming to that because you shouldn't be living together. You should be getting married. And no, I'm not. Some of these Christians have taken bold stands on some of these issues, but most will compromise. I notice even on some of our prominent cable networks that are supposed to be conservatives, when the issue of family comes up, the Christians tiptoe like they're walking on eggshells because they don't want to just flat out say, here should be the standards, here's what the word says, sex before marriage is sin. All sex outside of marriage is sin. Marriage is only a union between one man and one woman. And part of the problem with what's happening in the black community and increasingly across the country is people are disregarding God's standards and they're coming up with their own. And as you just said, Jeff, and it always ends in disaster. So that's one thing. We've all got to take a stand. Look, I would encourage people. I know you're working on these issues. I'm working on these issues. I've got an organization, STAND, that is going at this. We got 315 children murdered in the inner cities of our country, and nobody's even paying attention to it. Innocent kids, 3 months old, 5 months old, 5 years old, riding their bikes, sleeping in their beds, and nobody's paying any attention to it. And so I said, join with us to help us to bring this issue to the fore and show that these policies that everybody seems to be willing to embrace are not working. They're not working. And they're getting people killed. They're creating a genocide. And so, you know, people can go to standamerica.us and find out what we're doing. We call it Awakening Hearts and Minds. We've got something we call the Forgotten Children Project, where all these kids are dying and nobody's paying any attention to it. Mainstream media doesn't. It's one guy gets killed and it's a tragic and horrible thing, and those police officers ought to pay the price. But it's international news. Children die and nobody, it doesn't create a peep. Something's wrong with that picture, and it goes right back to this issue. Where are the fathers, those children standing up and saying, I will not accept my children being slaughtered in the streets like they're here for target practice for a bunch of thugs who are allowed to roam the streets and pretty much do what they want to do. So, man, this is a big, big issue, but we've got to begin to address it so that 20 years from now, Jeff, we're not talking about the same thing, only worse.
Amen. Amen. Well, Bishop, I know you have to go at the break, so you have a brand new book out. Tell us about that.
In fact, it addresses just this stuff, Jeff. It's called Sweet Land of Liberty, Reflections of a Patriot Descended from Slaves. And what I try to do is point out to people, you live in the greatest land of, you Americans, we Americans, live in the greatest land of opportunity the world has ever known. And if you happen to be black, as I am, and a descendant of slaves, your problem is not because you're a descendant of slaves, and your problems are not because, your problems are because of choices that you are making and things that you are doing or failing to do. And if you will take advantage of these opportunities, this becomes a sweet land of liberty, not a nation of white supremacy and systemic racism and all the labels that people put on this in order to absolve people of individual responsibility, and instead of inspiring people to reach for the heights, because there's no greater land of opportunity than the United States of America. So, I mean, that's a quick summary, but that's what the book is trying to point out. I love this country, Jeff. I know you do too. And I want others to love it. And so I try to give my perspective on why I love America as well.
I love it. Where can we get a copy of it?
Well, they can get it two places. They can go to FaithfulText.com. That's our publisher. And they'll get a 15% discount. FaithfulText.com. If they go to my website, standamerica.us, they can sign up as a Patriot partner. I'll send them a free signed and numbered copy of the book. They can find out more about that at standamerica.us.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop. I appreciate you coming on. I'm going to try and get you to come back to First Baptist Texarkana this year. So I hope,
Can
work that out.
Thank you so much, brother. Keep up the good work. God bless.
God bless. We're up against a break. We'll be right back.
We've always had an interest. God has given us a gift of being able to help a lot of people with their finances and budgets and stuff.
Bernie and Alice Larson are faithful supporters of the American Family Association.
We were thinking about the charitable gift annuities, and we'd never heard of that before, but we thought, well, we'd always wanted to leave some of our money for God, but we didn't know where or how. And we felt like this was put into our laps as answer to our prayers as to what we could do after we're gone.
The Larsons learned that a charitable gift annuity from the AFA Foundation would provide them with monthly income for life, as well as supporting the American Family Association into the future. You can learn more about charitable annuities and other financial products at afafoundation.net or call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
You just can't outgive God, and He just keeps pouring back into us.
So Hannah, she's just one of the women who did struggle with infertility in the Bible.
Hannah's Heart with Ann Cockrell and Kendra White.
Hannah took her pain to God, and God heard her and was with her.
Hannah's Heart helps couples process infertility and miscarriage through a biblical lens. Join us Saturday afternoon at 5 Central on American Family Radio. Find the podcast at afr.net.
To sharpen the biblical worldview of Christians and to share the good news of Jesus Christ. That is the mission of the Christian Worldview Radio program. I'm host David Wheaton, inviting you to join us this Saturday morning at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, as we discuss all matters of life and faith from a decidedly biblical perspective. The Christian Worldview, Saturday mornings at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, right here on American Family Radio.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
The credit card debt happened when my daughter was born. I was using one credit card account to roll over into another credit card account, and it was snowballing.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813.
When I first called Trinity, the representative understood the need based on the situation. There were great people to work with. From the first phone call that I made, they had me on a track to mitigate the credit card debt.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
Working with Trinity gave me the ability to save thousands of dollars. My name's Doug, and thanks to Trinity, I'm debt-free for keeps.
Call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813. That's 1-800-788-1813.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Well, in our first segment, we were talking to Bishop E.W. Jackson, and I always love to hear from the bishop. He has a great perspective on things going on in the culture, and he is a warrior for the truth. He came to First Baptist Texarkana some months back, and man, our church just loved what he had to say. He preached Sunday morning, Sunday night. We don't normally have a Sunday night service, but we did when he was here, and we had a great crowd of people that came to hear him again on Sunday night. And so I look forward to having the bishop back in 2023, promoting his new book, Sweet Land of Liberty, Reflections of a Patriot Descended from Slaves. You can go online and search for that. He gave the address, but pick up a copy of that, and it will bless you, and it will challenge you. And so we've been talking about culture and the definition of culture, the set of predominating attitudes and behaviors that characterize a group or organization. Now, as I said at the top of the broadcast, culture can be good, it can be healthy, it can be godly, or it can be bad, it can be rotten, it can be ungodly. An ungodly, rotten culture is one that says, Lord, I don't care what you say, I'm going to do it my way. And as the Bible clearly says, Proverbs 14:12 and Proverbs 16:25, at the same verse, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. And if a culture, regardless of skin color, although Jason Whitlock called out the black community because he said, hey, you guys are adopting this baby mama hip hop culture that glorifies sexual immorality and irresponsibility and a lack of integrity, a lack of respect for authority, all those things, that thug type of mentality. If you go down that road, you're going to have disastrous results. You say, well, that's the way I want to go. Well, you can go that way if you want, but that's the way that leads off a cliff. And that destroys not only your life, but it destroys the lives of those you come in contact with, especially as a man, because a man is given from God, given the role of leadership, especially leadership in the home. And it all starts in the home. You know, Barack Obama was the one years ago called out the black community and says, hey, we can't have fatherless homes and expect to have good results. And Bishop B.W. Jackson, his testimony is, had my dad not stepped in my life when I was a young kid living in a foster home, I think he was 9 or 10, his dad got him. He said, I was starting to go the way of the gangs. My dad intercepted me and said, hey, I'm going to take you. You're going to live with me. And he taught him responsibility, and he taught him the value of hard work. And, you know, we don't accept excuses. We, you know, we make our way here on this earth, and changed his whole life. And so I appreciate the bishop's ministry greatly. And as we talk about this thing called culture, we all have experienced it. Now, the company that you work for, if you have a job and you're not retired, or the company that you did work for, that company had a culture. I worked for a couple of different organizations and companies before God called me in the ministry, and each one of those had a culture. And the one when I worked in the chemical business, I'll not say the name of the company, but that had a particular culture. It was very professional, and it was very rigid, and it was kind of a shoot the messenger culture. You didn't want to talk about problems because we don't have problems here. We're the best. And so it was a little dysfunctional in that way. It was a great company, and they had a lot of great things going for it. But that kind of shoot the messenger culture was a little odd, and so it made it just very rigid. And that's not a culture that I really liked. You know, when I was on staff at Champion Forest, that had a particular culture. When I came to First Baptist Texarkana, the church had a particular culture. Now, I believe this with all my heart. The church takes on the personality over time, the personality of the pastor. And if the pastor is warm and loving, the church becomes warm and loving. If the pastor is distant and very introverted and doesn't really like to be around people, the church becomes kind of cold and distant. If the pastor is not very real, the church becomes plastic, and it's just not very real. And that presents, it's almost like the company I told you about. We don't have problems here. We just present this front like everything is fine and everything is perfect. That's not healthy. The church needs to be a real place, and the pastor needs to be a healthy guy. The Bible is very clear, 1 Timothy 3, these are the qualifications for a pastor. And he has to be somebody that is managing his own household well. A great thing for pastor search committees. You want to know who you should hire to be your pastor? Well, look at his family life. Look at how he treats his wife. Look at how he leads his children. Because the Bible makes it clear, if a man is not loving his wife and leading his children in a godly way, don't put that man in charge of the house of God, because he's not going to do a good job, and he's not going to produce a healthy church. Hey, guys especially, just as Jason Whitlock said and called out the men, God has given men the role of leadership, especially in the home, and we dare not squander that. men set the tone. We set the culture. I couldn't have done family life without my wonderful wife, Debbie. I mean, she was great and is great with our kids, adult kids, and now our grandkids. But I was the one that set the tone that our home is going to be a place of love and joy and peace, the fruit of the Spirit. We want that to permeate our home. And we're going to deal with issues. We don't sweep issues under the rug. We don't pretend like they're not there. We don't throw sheets on problems and just think it'll go away. They don't go away. We deal with stuff. Now, here's what the Bible says for a healthy culture. Ephesians 4, 25 and following. Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry, and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil an opportunity, literally a place. Let him who steals steal no longer, but rather let him labor, performing with his own hands what is good, in order that he may have something to share with him who has need. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. That's Ephesians chapter 4, verses 25 through 32. Now, Ephesians 4:32, that was our family verse when our kids were growing up in our home. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. And listen, we had three girls. Girls can be mean to one another. And so we would say, hey, we're not tolerating meanness. Meanness goes against the culture of the home. We want our home to be where we're kind to one another. Are we going to have disagreements? Yes, because that's just part of life, that you're going to have disagreements with people. People are going to get on your nerves. Sisters are going to get on your nerves. And family members are going to say things that make you mad. But we're going to be kind to one another, tenderhearted, and we're going to forgive, because we know we're going to hurt each other's feelings. Sometimes we do it on purpose in a family, and sometimes it's accidentally did something to hurt someone's feelings, but we forgive one another. We take responsibility for our actions. Hey, and I tell this to dads all the time. Dads, you set the tone. So if you act like, well, I can do whatever I want, and I don't ever apologize for anything, well, what's up with that? Hey, if you blow it, then you own it. And you tell your kids, hey, Dad lost his temper. Dad shouldn't have responded the way he did. I'm sorry that I yelled at you. You didn't deserve that. Please forgive me. When you've blown it, you own it. And you make things right. Because if you don't do that, then you wound your kids and they can start to get embittered against you. And you ask them to do things that you're not doing. As husbands and dads, we need to be an example to our wives and to our children. This is what it means to live the Christian life. You want to follow Christ? Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. You can follow me because I'm following Jesus, and you're going to be following in the right direction. Be imitators of me as I am of Christ. Culture is critical. And we need, as leaders, to set a godly culture and to call out a rotten culture. As Bishop Jackson and I were saying in the first segment, has nothing to do with skin color, but it has everything to do with culture. And if you accept a rotten culture, there's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. It's going to always lead off a cliff. And sadly, you have in the black community, in a large part, they've accepted a rotten culture, and it's going to produce rotten results, because irresponsibility and immorality is never going to be the formula for success. hard work, morality, purity, respect for authority, all those things God has set up in society as this works and this produces good and godly results. And if you go against that, it's not going to go well with you. As the Lord told Cain, if you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? But if you do not do well, behold, sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is for you, but you must master it. Well, we're going to go to the phone lines. The number to call is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you'd like to make a comment or ask a question about culture, or comment on what Jason Whitlock said or what the bishop said, Bishop E.W. Jackson, I'd love to hear from you. I know that Jason Whitlock got, if you follow him on Twitter, you saw all the comments and lots of people didn't like what he had to say. Well, he was dropping truth bombs. They don't want to hear that because that puts the responsibility then on them. And, you know, if you call out people for being irresponsible, then they would like to blame somebody else. They don't want to hear that, hey, it's my fault. No, it's not my fault. It's systemic racism. It's this person's fault. It's that person's fault. It's the other person's fault. Sin in others I can see, but praise the Lord, there's none in me. That kind of attitude. And we have to start to get back right, we have to start looking in the mirror and saying, okay, I have to take responsibility for my life and for my actions. Well, we have Lee on the line from Virginia. Lee, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, yes, sir. I really appreciate your show, and I really Thank like you. Jason Whitlock. I watch him on Tucker Carlson a lot, and I listen to Bishop Jackson just about every day. They are what I call role models, you know, to not only to the black community, but to everyone. And I'm 72, and I know that's old, but I can't believe the change in the culture of this country from the 50s until now. You know, when I grew up, everybody could watch TV. I remember the shows like The Waltons. Mm-hmm. You know, Highway to Heaven. I heard where people even got saved just watching Highway to Heaven and the scenes that the town would have when they gather in the church. The gospel would be portrayed. I heard the gospel on wagon train. They would have church services. And now you can't even let your kids listen, you know, to ABC, to the regular networks or NBC. And I have two grandkids. That's a good thing about grandkids. You kind of keep up with what they're watching and doing. We are living in a terribly violent culture. I mean, these video games that these kids play at 10 years old, they are violent. The music is violent. When I was growing up, it was just what I call good, clean love songs. And even the dancing, you know, was clean. But it's just like everything has went downhill. And I really don't believe if we stay on the course that we're on, that this country has a limited amount of years left. When I would grow up and went to school, everybody had parents. You know them. You know the parents. And I read now you put all the races together, that over 50% of the kids in America grow up in one-parent homes. And Bishop Jackson was exactly right. You know, these kids are looking for inclusion, and they find it in these gangs. I live out in the country. I would be scared to death to go to New York City or Chicago, and I'm not going, you know. But it's just amazing. It's like the Roman Empire. It lasted, I guess 400 or 500 years, but it eventually fell because of the culture. And that's what's going on in America. And it's going to take a miracle of God to turn this country around.
Yes. Well, Lee, we're up against a break. You're exactly right. I appreciate your comments. And we are on a collision course with judgment and destruction unless we turn around. And here's the thing. As God's people stand up for truth and pray, God promises to answer. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. We'll be right back.
Friendships is offering an exciting opportunity for young adults who want to grow in their walk with God, become physically fit, and learn relief ministry while serving in the Middle East. This is an amazing opportunity to serve God and experience Israel. Check out Seahawk's one-year scholarship program at friendships.org or call 337-433-5022. That's 337-433-5022. The next session begins August 19th.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at afn.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at afn.net.
In this season of giving, you can be the answer to their prayer today. Hey, it's Michael Woolworth with Bible League International, and since Labor Day, we've been working toward a goal of putting God's Word into the hands and hearts of 16,000 Bibleist believers around the world. Here's a few that are praying for a Bible. Ahmed is a former Muslim beaten by extremists when he came to faith in Christ. He's praying for a Bible. Miriam is a widowed mother of three in Mozambique, Africa. Very sadly, her husband was killed by the Boko Haram regime, but she's praying for a Bible. Carla was a follower of pagan practices in Venezuela. He's praying for a Bible now as a Christ follower. And then Washi and her husband are livestock farmers in China. They want to raise their children to know and love Jesus. They're praying for a Bible. Listen, to date, you've put 10,000 Bibles into the hands of Bibleist believers. We'd love to see another 6,000 by the end of the year. So please, at $5 a Bible, would you make your most generous gift by calling 800-YES-WORD, 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 or give at sendbiblesnow.com.
Abraham Hamilton III, host of The Hamilton Corner.
American Family Association is on the front lines in the culture war in America. We've been here for more than 40 years fighting for the biblical principles our nation was founded upon. And by God's grace, we are making a difference. One significant way you can join us in this battle is through a charitable gift annuity with the AFA Foundation. Not only will the charitable gift annuity benefit you, but it will benefit the culture-transforming work of American Family Association.
Contact the AFA Foundation today to learn how you can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting American Family Association. A charitable gift annuity helps you, and it allows AFA to impact America for generations to come. Phone 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We're talking about culture and how to set a godly culture in your home and in your business and in the community. Hey, when Christians start to say, we are going to follow the Lord, we're going to obey Him, and we're going to let the Holy Spirit have control, then what happens? The fruit of the Spirit starts to be evident in your life, and the sweet aroma of the knowledge of Jesus is smelled as you interact with people. They say, hey, there's something about you. I just sense that you have been in the presence of the Lord, as we talked about yesterday. And so we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840, as we talk about this important issue of culture and setting a godly culture. And so we have Kevin on the line from Arkansas. Kevin, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Greetings and blessings.
Greetings. How are you?
That French philosopher, cold, snowed
yeah,
in. Sure. That French philosopher that came over to find out why America was good or great, and he said he went through the halls of Congress, and he went to the factories, he went to the business community, and he said it wasn't until he found a church a fire with God, and he decided that America was great because America was good. But everybody stops that quote there, that there's an and it goes on, and it says something about, and the men respect their wives, or something to that effect. I can't remember what the second part of that was. Nobody ever says that second part.
So how I've heard that, Kevin, is it's Alexis de Tocqueville, and he said, America is great because America is good, morally good, is what he was talking about. And if America ceases to be good, America will cease to be great. So he recognized that the greatness of America, as you said, it wasn't in their harbors and it wasn't in their factories. It was in the fact that they worshiped God, and God was the centerpiece of the home and the community and the nation. In God we trust. And he said that's the difference. And so God blessed America because we trusted in God. And if you get away from that, then you suffer the consequences. And as we've shared on this program many, many times, Romans chapter 1, when you don't want to retain God in your knowledge, when you don't want to honor him or give him thanks as an individual or as a society, then God says, okay, you don't want me? Well, I'm not going to force myself on you. I will give you to your own desires. I will give you what you want, and you keep pressing against the fence line, so to speak, and God says, all right, I'll let down the fence. And so God gives them over to sexual immorality, first of all, in Romans chapter 1, then homosexual perversion, and then thirdly, a reprobate mind, a mind that doesn't function anymore. And it's just like opening Pandora's box of evils. And so that's what we're experiencing in America today. And as Bishop E.W. Jackson said in the first segment, what's the solution? It has to be for Christians to start really getting right and getting serious and calling out sin and dealing with sin in their own lives so that they can call out sin in the culture. And until we start doing that, we're just going to still go in the same direction. And that direction, as Lee pointed out just before the break from Virginia, you can't travel down that road of rebellion for an indefinite period of time. Eventually, the road runs out and you fall off a cliff and judgment comes. So I appreciate you bringing up that quote, Kevin. That's a great quote, and that is very apropos for the subject matter today. So God bless you, my brother. Well, we have Shirley on the line from Tennessee. Shirley, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I hope one day we can have you in Jackson, because you won't find better fried chicken no matter where you go. We're the best. But I wanted to say, I'm a little hoarse today, but I wanted to say, we are the tale of two cities. We are the tale of the ten virgins. You know, I didn't realize how far we had gone. I didn't realize that we had become so dependent on Hollywood for our entertainment and things. All of this stuff sneaked up on us, and now we find that Hollywood has been taken over, as I understand, by Chinese communist ideology, etc. But my belief is this. The Christians really are preaching. The Christians really are doing what God said to. For years, people have called themselves Christian, but not obeyed his word. And he's already said in Matthew chapter 7, I will say unto you, I know you not. So when we separate those who are literally saying they're Christian but not obeying him from the ones who are true Christians, yes, they are doing the work. But we're seeing 2 Thessalonians 2, the falling away is here. And so I want to encourage those that really do believe God and who are willing to take a stand for him in their lives and get rid of the sin out of their lives and start living for the Lord. Yes, we are the remnant. We are the last day saints, and we do stand. But the Lord told us there would be a falling away, and then the man of sin. And that's what we're seeing. The kids of today, they're not the same because they weren't exposed to the same. They weren't trained the same way. We were trained to work when we grew up. We were trained not to sit in front of video games, and we did not have them at that time, and TVs were family time. Today, TV is babysitter. Today, TV is the educator of the children, and radio, etc. And because of that, and the partying of the parents who really don't know God, even though they say they do and they think they do, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof are death and destruction. Those people claiming to be Christians, but they're really not. And when the mark of the beast comes, it's going to surprise everyone who gets it and who doesn't. And those who are not settling it in their minds right now to be faithful to our God are going to take it because they don't have that relationship with the Lord. They want ease, comfort, and they want to believe, like every child in the kindergarten class, they want to believe that they're going to get the prize at the end of the day, even though they won't behave. So God invites us, change your garments, clean yourself up, all through the Bible. And that's the message that people keep missing somehow. And I think it's because they're really not reading it. They'll read a verse or two, go listen to some of these other pastors who talk about everything but the Bible in church, and they don't change. They don't behold and become changed. God bless you, brother. Thank you for this opportunity.
Hey, thank you, Shirley, and thank you for calling in and for sharing that. I think you're spot on. And one man said, you know, in the average Baptist church, he was Southern Baptist, so he said the Baptist church, average Baptist church, 50% of the people in the congregation are lost. They've never been born again. Now, they might have walked an aisle. They might have checked a box on a card. They might have even gotten baptized. But they've never had a true encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ through repentance and faith. That's what makes a person a believer in Jesus, a true Christian, repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. When you leave the pigsty of sin and put your faith and trust in Jesus, you are saved. He saves you when you come to him. If you try and come to him with your sin in tow and say, Lord, I'll believe in you, but I'm not going to give up my sexual immorality. I'm not going to give up my gambling. I'm not going to give up my drugs, my alcohol. And, you know, you're just going to bless me with this. You know, it's kind of like the person dying of cancer says, Doctor, I'd love to be healed, but I don't want to give up my cancer. Well, that's the only way you can get healed is you give up your cancer. Your cancer is the thing that's killing you. And so how ridiculous for someone suffering with a terminal cancer to say, well, I don't want to give up my cancer. But that's what people say to the Lord. I don't want to give up my sin. Well, in order to come to Jesus, you have to let go of the sin and trust him, repentance and faith. That does not mean as a Christian, you won't still struggle with sin. The Bible says in Galatians 5:16, but I say walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. Every Christian knows there's a battle that rages inside because your flesh still wants to do sin. And that part of you, the new man, wants to follow Christ. And so you feel that tug. We never get to the place where sin has no pull anymore. But you can't come to Christ saying, I'm holding on to my sin, I'm holding on to my cancer. It just doesn't work like that. So I appreciate your comments, Shirley. God bless you, my sister. Well, we have Ron from Michigan on the line. Ron, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you, Pastor Jeff, and thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
Proverbs 16:25 has become a favorite among many. But there is a way that seems right, but the end thereof is death. And because of the lie of the devil himself, we've quoted John 8:44 before. He's a liar. There's not an ounce of truth in him. And yet people are so deceived that they think the gambling, the alcoholism, the sexual immorality, they somehow think that that's fun or enjoyable. And then I want to, Bishop Jackson said it best, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. He said it a couple of times. And then coming out of the break, you actually hit on it, that if you start living the way that God would have us to live, then you start to experience or show the fruit of the Spirit. And Pastor Jeff, you're going to have to help me with the verse as to where it's found. But our Lord said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly.
Yeah.
To John me, 10, 10. My friend, that doesn't mean a pretty good life, a better than average life, but an abundant life.
Right.
And that's what people seemingly miss.
Yeah, they really do. You know, Christianity is not... It's not taking bad-tasting medicine in order to get well. We've all had the experience, especially as kids. You know, when I grew up in the 60s, as a little kid, you had to take medicine, and medicines didn't taste good at all. And it's like, oh, you have to get this, take this, otherwise you're still going to have your cough, you're going to have your cold or whatever. And so I remember as a little kid, you know, having to suck down a spoonful of this potion, this medicine that the doctor gave, and it tasted awful. And it's like, I'm going to throw up. Well, some people get the idea that that's Christianity. It's bad medicine that you have to take in order to go to heaven, in order to get well. That's not Christianity at all. The Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. And he did come that we might have life and might have it abundantly, John 10:10. And so the Christian life is not a life of misery. Adrian Rogers used to say we have a lot of Christians, they have a big black Bible in one arm and a tombstone under the other and a scowl on their face and tell people, wouldn't you like to be a Christian so you can be as miserable as I am? And the world says, no, thank you. I don't want to have that. But when we walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, there is love, there is joy, there is peace, there is patience, there is kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Against such things there is no law. And as we said, 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians 2:14, the sweet aroma of the knowledge of the Lord goes forth in everywhere we go. That is attractive to people. There was a reason why Jesus always had a huge crowd of people following him. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. When they went to arrest him, they didn't. And when the arresting officers came back to the religious leaders, and they said, where is he? Why didn't you arrest him? He said, we've never heard anybody speak like he speaks. Jesus is God in the flesh. Now, we are not God in the flesh, although as believers, God lives inside our flesh. Somebody said the best way or a good way to understand the Trinity is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God is the Father without skin. Jesus is the Son with skin. The Holy Spirit is God who came to live in our skin. And he lives inside of us. And when we yield our lives to the Holy Spirit, then the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him goes forth in every place we go. And we become such a powerful witness for Jesus. People, it's always the case. What's the challenge for a person to come to Christ? Is to repent. Is to leave their sin. It says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 that people perish. Why? Because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved, but took pleasure in wickedness. They chose their sin over God's Son. If you choose your sin over God's Son, you will end up in eternal hell. But if you turn from your sin and put your faith and trust in Jesus, you end up with eternal life that begins the moment that you receive Christ. Well, thank you for joining today on Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, and I will be with you again tomorrow. And so listen, guys especially, set the tone for your marriage, for your family, and make it a godly home and a godly marriage and a godly family. And let Ephesians 4 permeate your life, and God will bless and God will use you. I'll be with you again tomorrow. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.